And thank you for rejoining us here at KCOR. This is Central Standard Friday, the Food Critics Edition. I am joined, I'm Charles Ferruzza, by the way, with The Pitch. And The Pitch is a food blog, which is joined with our other blog. It's called Fast Pitch at pitch.com. I'm joined by Gloria Gale with 435 International, Emily Ferris from Feed Me KC. What's the newest thing on the podcast there?
We're still letting our odd little anniversary episode hang out. We need to have a new podcast. That's, I think we're going to do one about the urban farm tour.
Very good. And Christine Basica from Ingram's Magazine. And you have been there a long time.
I have.
At least 30 years, I think.
Yes, and in fact, this month, at least 30. At least, I was going to just let that slide. The official ballot is out in Ingram's. It's the 25th year for their food, for their Best of Kansas City.
I thought it used to be called the Silver Fork or the Golden Fork.
It changed many years ago.
Okay.
But that is the Best of Kansas City, and would love to see some new restaurants on that.
That's
people
great.
Voting for new restaurants.
We are talking this half hour with Korean food, and we have a special guest. Her voice may be familiar to you if you are a regular KCOR listener, because she's often a guest on the Steve Up to Date, KCOR's Up to Date show, when the book doctors are in the house. Is that correct?
That's
Grace
right.
Sa.
That's
and
right.
Grace Sa is our resident Korean food expert. Now, but you were not born in Korea, were you?
Oh, I sure was.
Oh, where were you born?
I was born in Seoul, and I lived there till first grade.
That's great. And how long have you been in Kansas City?
5 years.
And you, I am assuming that you have been to all four Korean restaurants in Kansas City?
I've been to all seven Korean restaurants
in
Kansas City.
Are there really seven?
Well, there, I consider, you know, more or less there are different places where Korean food can be had.
Okay. And we will talk about that in this half hour. And we do welcome your phone calls at 816-235-2888. 816-235-2888. If you have a favorite Korean restaurant or a favorite Korean dish, this is the time to talk about it and to tell our listeners where you suggest going. And do you have a favorite restaurant?
Oh, that seems impolitic. But I will say that I go most often to Soban because it's closest to home.
And that's on Shawnee Mission Parkway, correct?
That's right. So it's right down the street from me. And I go there quite a bit.
Now, that is a family-owned restaurant.
Absolutely. It's a mom and pop. Well, you know, the father died a couple of years ago, so it's a mom and daughter's operation. And that there are, you know, one or more of them are there every day. And you always get a welcome, and the waitresses have been there for a long time, so it's, you know, it feels very much like a family situation.
They really know the food there, which I really appreciate because I don't necessarily.
Uh-huh.
And Soban is at 7800 Shawnee Mission Parkway. It's on the north side of the street. It's in a strip mall. It's west of Antioch, east of Metcalf. And I think that's the one I go to.
Yeah,
most
it's east
often.
Of Antioch.
East of Antioch,
yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. So
it's in the strip mall. My friend calls the Korean strip mall because everything there is Korean.
There's a Korean market right next.
That's
to
right.
It.
There's yeah. a Korean hair salon. There's a Korean gift store, a Korean video store. You know.
Oh, I didn't
the
even
whole
notice
thing.
All those other.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I believe on Metcalf at around 103rd or between 103rd and 105th, there are two mm-hmm. across the street from each other.
Yeah, there are three if you count. Well, there are four actually. So the big one is Choga, which is on the east side of Metcalf, in that strip mall between 103rd and 105th Street. And that is really good. It's a very good, sound place. They have the grills with the hoods above them, so you can cook your own kalbi and bulgogi, the Korean grilled beef. And so that's a great place to go for that. On the other side of the street is the really big Korean grocery store called Oriental Supermarket, and that is flanked by a number of Korean businesses, including a Korean beauty supply place where you can buy, you know, these lotions that are otherwise only available at Bergdorf Goodman for $300. And
I might need to go there.
Yeah, I go there. And a video place also. And then there's a bakery called Cafe V, V-I-E, as in La Vie.
Mm-hmm.
And they also serve a lot of kind of rice bowls and lunch specials. You see a lot of Korean people there for lunch. And they also, believe it or not, sell banh mi and pho And the pho is really good. It's just basically...
You might explain to our listeners who may not know. Now, isn't a banh mi sandwich traditionally a Vietnamese sandwich?
Yeah, banh mi and pho are both Vietnamese foods. Banh mi is a crispy French loaf sandwich, and pho is the noodle beef soup. However, because Korean people like it, the Korean people there who own Cafe V make it, and they're both very good. And then in addition to Korean rice bowls that they serve for lunch, and then these funny little Korean pastries that Korean people like. And then in addition to that, there's Rainbow in that same shopping area that serves a bunch of Korean
snacks. Is that shopping area called Metcalf 103, or am I thinking
that's
of the
across
one?
The across the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Forgive me.
It's on the back side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know where that is. It's across the street from a gas station.
Well, yeah, and I think there is a Jose Pepper's there.
Exactly, yes, exactly. And a liquor place.
Right.
And, yeah.
Is this an unfair question? But, you know, in the United States, as in Italy and other parts of the world, in the United States, the cuisine of the American South is distinctly different from the cuisine of the American East.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be true for North and South Korea as well?
Oh, absolutely. Not because they're separate countries, because that's an artificial political construct from after the war, but just because they were different regions. So my family is from Northern Korea. You know, that's what it was before. It was North Korea. It was just like being from Boston versus being from Mississippi. And the foods are very different, in part because in the South, they needed to, my family would say over salt and over spice, but they just salt and spice things more for preservation purposes. And so if you go down to the extreme South, I was really shocked by the side dishes because they're very pungent and very strong. And that's just their tradition. Whereas I'm sure somebody from the South eating food from the North would find it really under-seasoned because they prefer things very mild and think more elegant.
To our listeners who may be unfamiliar with Korean food and maybe think incorrectly, as a friend of mine did, that it is some kind of cross-section between Chinese and Japanese, where it's completely different from those cuisines.
It is.
Very, very different. And why don't you explain to our listeners what kimchi is, since it seems to be a constant.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Kimchi is as a main dish. So basically for a Korean person, any meal consists of rice and kimchi and soups. And then that's your basic meal. And so kimchi, there are hundreds of kinds of kimchi, but the most basic kind that people think of is made from a Chinese cabbage, and it tends to be seasoned with red pepper and garlic and ginger, and it sounds spicy and it can be, however, it's very flavorful.
And I might add, good for you.
It's very good for you.
And we have a caller here, Kyle. Kyle from Kansas City, Kansas. Kyle, am I correct that you lived in Korea for a year?
You're absolutely correct, Charles.
It's my husband, Kyle.
Oh, okay.
Hello, husband.
Hello, wife. Hello, Charles. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Kyle, you have a favorite Korean dish?
I do. It was the kind of dish that after I got home from Korea, I dreamed about. And I asked around. And then when Soban opened, they do it. It's called Andong Jimdak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do it well, too.
Oh, God, they do. And the way it was described to me is, you know, Andong is like a town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like saying pizza in America. Well, you got to specify, is it New York pizza or Chicago pizza? So Andong Jimdak is like a specific steamed chicken kind of stew. They cook the chicken in a really sugary, really peppery broth that is heavenly. It's a dish that serves two. There's cellophane noodles, hunks of potatoes, carrots,
I actually
mushrooms.
Think it would serve more than two, but the two of us.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Grace is Soban, and Christine, what is the address of Soban again?
7800 Metcalf.
Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Is the dish Kyle is describing, is it available at any other restaurant besides Soban in town?
You know, that's a good question. I've only had it at Soban, but I've not looked for it other places.
Okay. But Kyle, you did look for it, right?
I did, yeah. I know Chogat doesn't have it, and I know you guys haven't mentioned my favorite barbecue place, which is Cho Sun.
We were waiting for you to call and tell us about Cho Sun. Well, and what is the address of Cho Sun?
Cho Sun is 12611 Metcalf.
And it is the focus of that restaurant, and Grace, correct me if I'm wrong, is Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how is Korean barbecue, and Kyle, feel free to chime in here, how is Korean barbecue different from the good old USA barbecue?
Oh, well, you know, only the name. There's no other difference. Well, no, I would say this, that barbecue, as we think of it, tends to be a sweet and a salty and a piquant, and it's grilled. So in that respect, it's the same. However, the salty is soy sauce, and there's lots of ginger and garlic as well. And the sweet tends to be pear juice, the Asian pear juice. Other people use all different sorts of things. Everyone has their own little secret sauce. And it's marinated, and it can be on the bone or off, and then you grill it at the table so that you get it charred.
Is beef?
That's what I was going to say. I think the main difference, too, is, you know, Kansas City barbecue is slow-smoked for 12 hours or 24 hours, and Korean barbecue is cooked for about 3 minutes. And
yeah, it's sliced
thin. Really crispy, and, yeah, I agree with you. All the flavors are amazing, but, yeah.
Is it a predominantly a beef-based barbecue?
Yes, there is actually my partner Jarrett, whom you know, is actually very fond of a pork version, which also has some marinated soybean and an additional spice. It's spicier and more pungent, but the most common one is beef.
And we are talking about Korean food here on Central Standard Friday. If you have a favorite restaurant or a favorite dish, as Kyle does, you can join us at 816-235-2888. And, Kyle, I wanted to ask, what is your favorite dish at Cho Sun?
Well, we also get the pork. We get the pork galbi. It's awesome. I talked to the people there, and they actually, their family is from really close to where I lived in Seoul, which made sense because it tasted like home the first time I went there. I also really like their kimchi pancake and their seafood pancake there.
Mm-hmm.
They do really great versions that I think are really authentic and kind of flavors you don't get anywhere else.
That's great. Hey, thank you, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Charles.
And that was Kyle, who is Mr. Emily Ferris.
Mr. Emily Ferris. I like
in
that.
In his other
sure he loves it.
Life.
He's my partner in crime when it comes to food. So
we are taking your phone calls at 816-235-2888, like Edie and Shawnee. Hello, Edie?
Hello?
You're with us.
Yes, it's Eddie. Actually.
Oh, it's Eddie. Okay.
Yeah.
See, genders just amaze me.
It
Eddie, tell us about what you have a new Korean restaurant to tell us about?
Oh, yeah. I guess it's new and old, I guess you could say. It's Korean-Chinese cuisine. One other restaurant I know is Red Snapper, but the one near my house is on 87th. It's called Teriyaki and More.
Hmm.
It's actually a former chef of the one on College Boulevard. He sold that restaurant, and then he just reopened another. I guess he got bored of retirement, so it's really good. They have the spicy jjampong, they have the jjajangmyeon, tangsuyu, they have all the... It's a funny fusion. Korean-Chinese is interesting to Americans to hear, but it's pretty popular among Koreans and Chinese.
And Eddie, if I may ask, how does their jjajangmyeon compare to Red Snapper?
Actually, it's about the same, probably about the same. I like Red Snapper a lot, and I just got back from Korea like a couple weeks ago, so I had some pretty good jjajangmyeon in Korea.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The one on 87, he's the same chef as the one on the old College Boulevard in Metcalf.
Okay.
I'm up there, but yeah, it's good.
And tell us where this restaurant is again.
It's on 87th and, what is that street? It's near...
Is it near where Lewisburg Square, where the original Thai place is?
Well, this is a good sense in that little area.
Okay.
Across the street from the McDonald's.
Okay.
There's a Starbucks. There's a Price Chopper, I think, across the street.
Grace can't place it, and actually neither can I.
And you said it's pretty new?
Yeah. It's been, I think, a couple months now.
And it's called Teriyaki and More?
Teriyaki and More.
Oh, Teriyaki and More. Okay.
It's weird because teriyaki is Japanese, but I don't know. It's they have, like, regular American Chinese food, too, but the Chinese-Korean menu, they have, like, a separate menu, so they sort of know if you're Korean or not when you walk in, so they just give you a Korean menu.
Yeah.
But if you ask for it, they'll give it to you as well.
Is that why when I go to a restaurant, they just automatically hand me the fried menu?
They do. The donut menu
the
also.
Donut.
But yeah, they do have the full like menu. So they have jjampong, kampunggi, jjampong, jjajangmyeon. They actually have Korean fried rice,
right.
Chinese fried rice,
right,
where
right.
they put the jjajangmyeon on, jjajang sauce on the side.
Uh-huh. Wait. Okay, let's backtrack a minute. What is the difference
it's
between...
It's jjajangbap.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
Well, jjajangmyeon, myeon means noodle. So jjajangmyeon is noodles with the jjajang sauce on it. And jjajangbap is rice with the jjajang sauce on it.
Very good. Yeah. Before we started our conversation earlier today, Gloria Gale was wondering about that dish called bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Bibimbap?
Right.
Bibimbap. Yeah.
And that is a very, very popular Korean dish, correct?
Yeah, it's very standard, very traditional Korean dish.
You want to explain to our listeners?
Sure. Well, the word bap, as I just used in jjajangbap, means rice. And so bibim means mixed up. So it's really just a way of saying mixed up rice. So it comes in a bowl with the rice in the bottom and your individual different kinds of vegetables on top. And then your job is to just mix it up. And that's what makes it bibimbap and eat it. And it usually comes with a fried egg on top.
And could that dish be ordered with some kind of meat as well?
Yeah, it usually comes with a little bit of bulgogi, which is kind of like a barbecued beef. It's pan fried instead of over the grill.
And you can get it cold, which is bibimbap, or hot, which is dulsat bibimbap. Is that
no.
am I saying that right?
Well, you can get it in a metal bowl, which is bibimbap,
or
dulsat bibimbap, which is and that just means the stone casserole dish,
and that comes out
heated.
Really hot.
The bowl is heated,
yeah.
and so it crisps your rice, and so you get a crust on the bottom of your rice.
Of course, Emily would be attracted to anything with casserole.
That's true.
I can add one more thing to that.
Uh-huh.
It's called a hwedapap. It's a raw fish.
Yeah.
It makes one, and if you go to Cafe V, the one next to the grocery store,
yeah, that's
they
the
put a lot of raw fish on that thing.
Yeah, Cafe V caters to an almost entirely Korean clientele, and so they do things exactly the way Korean people like it. So they have that, it's sashimi on top of rice, and in the summer, what's really a beautiful, refreshing dish is the sashimi on top of salad, and so it's just couldn't be healthier, and it's a great, refreshing lunch in the summertime.
So if I order bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, they'll know?
Yes, they will, Cinderella.
Only if you sing it. Hey, thank you so much for your phone call, Eddie. And let's go to Jake. Jake in South Kansas City.
Well, a pleasant good morning, folks. It's just another beautiful spring day. I guess you're on a Korean kick, so to speak, and I'm not sure whether Frank offers one. I think I saw one on the menu. Frank's Dogs down at 520 Southwest Boulevard. They opened pretty recently. I just came across it. And it, you know, maybe as a tribute to Walt Bodine, they've got great chili and hot dogs. But I think I noticed a Korean dog on the menu. I know not what it might be, but the two or three I've had from there are just phenomenal.
Jake, we're going to let Grace chime. Is there such a thing as a Korean hot dog?
Well, nowadays, Korean is such, you know, we're so trendy right now. You just can't keep us away from anything. So there's, as you know, kimchi tacos everywhere.
I haven't had one yet, but they sound delicious.
Well, I don't think that anyone in L.A. eats anything else, apparently.
What is a kimchi taco?
Well, it was started by a couple of Korean-American chefs who decided to leave their big restaurants and start a food truck. And it's just a taco, but the meat is kalbi, which is the grilled Korean beef, and then it's topped with chopped up kimchi. And the aforementioned Jarrett likes to eat something he calls a kimchi burger, which is kimchi on top of a cheeseburger. And kimchi dogs is usually chopped up kimchi on top of your hot dog because, as Koreans know, there's nothing out there that kimchi can't make better.
Including your health.
I feel the same way. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
You have a favorite dish?
Yeah, and I think I was dialing up right when you started to talk about bibimbap and dulsat bibimbap. That's definitely my favorite. I learned about it from the Neo Deli downtown. I don't know if anybody's had it. It's a, just like a downtown lunch place, but they have a version of bibimbap. And then that got me started. A place close to me that has it is Kokoro Maki.
Yeah, I was going to do a shout out to Kokoro Maki House because
is that
I love
Waldo?
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a sushi place,
right.
But it's owned by Koreans, and they do an excellent bibimbap.
Well, see, I had no idea. Thank goodness we have you on the show and this topic. Do you mean, is that the only Korean dish they sell?
No. I think they might also have done naengmyeon. Honestly, I just went in. Somebody told me they were Korean, and I just gave them the Korean eye signal, you know. And then they just brought over Korean food to me, so I didn't really look at the menu. But I think they might do naengmyeon in the summer. It's kind of whatever is, you know, in their sites at the time.
Wow.
Oh, no. You know, I think they also do kimchi jjigae, which is kimchi stew. And I think someone told me that they also do bulgogi, so which is the pan-fried beef and onions.
Speaking of bulgogi, Karen wrote in at centralstandard at kcr.org that her favorite restaurant is Chosun in Overland Park.
Mm-hmm.
She says their chicken bulgogi prepared traditional, not teriyaki style, is delicious. Are those two completely different ways of preparation?
Oh, well, you know, they have these lunch bento boxes, and so they prepare a standard teriyaki chicken for your standard, you know, white lunch, Overland Park lunch person, and which is fine, but it's not actually Korean food, and so you have to go in and make sure that you're actually getting the Korean version.
Very good. Anything else to add, Chuck?
I may have missed it, but I don't think I've heard you talk enough about all the side dishes that
oh, yeah. That's a good point, Chuck, which is that any Korean person knows that a restaurant is to be judged on its banchan, which means side dishes.
And which is spelled B-A-N-C-H-A-N.
Mm-hmm. And you can hear, you know, elderly Korean people talk about this all day long. You know, well, that place has good banchan, and this place does not have good banchan.
Is banchan sort of an umbrella term for all of the side dishes?
It is, and it's all these little freebies, these dishes that come to the table with any order, and it's they're so nutritious and good for you because it's all manner of vegetables and seafood prepared, you know. And people say Korean restaurants can be expensive, but if you look at all these dishes, it's a lot of vegetables, it's a lot of seafood, and it's a lot of preparation. Every single banchan takes so much preparation. And you can get, you know, 5-8 little dishes with your
food. And you don't order it. It just, you sit down and you order your meal. And we call it the chips and salsa of Korean food.
Exactly.
I have a question about one of those.
You don't have to know anything about it. They just bring it out and you're like, you try it and you're like, ooh, this one's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Chuck, I'm so glad you brought up banchan because we needed to get to that point. So thank you so much. I also want to say that Linda wrote in at kcr.org, centralstandard at kcr.org. Her favorite restaurant is Rainbow at 103rd and Metcalf. It's her favorite because it's a cheap hole-in-the-wall restaurant. And I guess you in Kansas City, you can't say anything better than that. So,
Well, and they also have things that nobody else has. So it's right by Cafe V and Oriental Supermarket and the Korean Hair Salon.
And Jose Peppers.
Yes, right, and Jose Peppers. And they have it's a snack bar, so they have noodle soups and rice cake things and things that people like to eat after school. It serves a completely different kind of thing than the regular restaurant.
And if I remember correctly, it is a Korean restaurant that does not have a liquor license. I think it's just
I would be surprised if they did have a liquor license because it's just a
snack
Linda
shop.
Said, it's a snack shop and hole in the wall.
I have a question about one of the banchan items that I love and they always refill it. Fish paper. What is it?
Fish paper?
Is that what they've called it? Fish paper. It's the little, like, they look like little noodles. People have called it fish paper to me before.
Is it flat and beige?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called odang. Hmm. And it's there's a whole industry of all different sorts of fish sausages. So it's you know, like you cook the fish. I mean, it is factory made. And you make it into kind of a mash, and then you can form it into all sorts of shapes.
So it is fish.
It is fish.
It's really good. I never knew what it was.
Fish paper.
Fish paper. That's what I've heard it called.
Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're with us.
Hello there. Good morning. How's everybody?
Great, Dave. What are you going to tell us?
Well, I was interested in a particular dish, but I think the short story at the beginning was the fact that I'm German-Irish, and I met my wife when she was 13. She's Korean-German. And they introduced me at that time to kimchi, and it was the hottest thing I'd ever had in my whole life in my mouth. It was very good, though. And but they had introduced me also to the bulgogi, and I had heard one of the ladies, I believe Grace, mentioned it, and she had said that it was pan-fried. Now, we have always cooked it throughout the years as a grilled barbecue meat. And is that the improper way to make it?
No, no, no. You can do it either way. And in the restaurants, you can if you choose to cook it yourself, then they'll do it on the grill. Or if they do it in the back, then they'll do it in a pan. The reason a lot of people like to do bulgogi in a pan versus a grill is because it comes with onions and carrots, and you can get a lot of delicious pan juices. And, you know, you don't want to lose your pan juices. So
I'm starving. What's your note, Grace? I'm starving.
So it's a matter of opinion and you know, choice. Absolutely. You're doing it fine.
Great. Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
And that was David. We are talking about Korean food at 816-235-2888. We are not going to talk about your favorite Korean restaurant because I imagine you, because we have so many options, much more than I thought.
Oh, yeah.
There are probably signature dishes at all of them.
That's right. Absolutely. I go to Red Snapper and I love their jjajangmyeon and their jjongbang. In fact, a friend and I were just there last week and we were laughing our heads off because the table next to us had three old Korean men, and they were just, they had these gigantic bowls of soup that my friend and he's a guy who eats a lot, we split, and these guys, skinny little guys, ate their bowls down to the last drop, and they were just grunting away. And so that one I highly recommend for the Chinese-Korean fusion that, was it Eddie who mentioned? And I wanted to give a shout-out to a place called Korea House, which is a complete hole in the wall in that 888 market. You know, the 888 market that's right. Down on...
Former Hy-Vee.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Down in 119th. Yes. College Boulevard.
Been trying to get it for weeks.
It's fantastic. And Grace, it's great for stews.
You've been a wonderful asset. That's Grace Suh, who you can hear on Up to Date when the book doctors are there. And thanks to my fellow food critics, Emily Ferris, Gloria Gale, and Chris Pasica. Remember, you can find a list of all the restaurants we talked about today at kcor.org/Central Standard Friday and archival recordings and podcasts of our previous shows. Up to Date, by the way, is next with reviews of art, independent, and foreign films. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton. Our announcer is Kim Noble. I'm Charles Ferruza. This is Central Standard Friday. Enjoy your food, KC.